Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. You can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, this is another week of the Almost Famous Podcast. We're here to break down the most recent episode of Matt James's season. Ashley, there is an episode out there that we recorded. Tell everybody where they can find it.
So yesterday we dropped an episode that is exclusively about race and the franchise. We have Devon Franklin on, and he's a media mogul. He's an inspirational speaker, and he does such a fantastic job of talking about race in this franchise and how far we need to go. It was such a powerful, moving episode. I think Ben and I got emotional at times. We really urge you to listen to it. It's, you know, it was all based on the fact that there was that interview last week on Extra between Chris Harrison and Rachel Lindsay. And, Yeah. So we want that conversation to keep continuing. Wills said this week, you know, Wills from a couple seasons ago, he said, "I sincerely hope this isn't another black box with quotes around it moment where people speak up against racism because it's the topic of the day. I don't want to see the retreat back into comfort after one day, after one post. I'm loving the energy I'm seeing, and all I ask is to keep it up." So we want to keep it up. We want to make sure that this is something that we continue to talk about on this podcast. I reached out to a couple of the girls from this season to discuss the joint statement that they put out last week. I don't know if you guys saw, but all, wow, there's like 30-something girls from this season, and they put together a statement in response to the Rachel and Chris interview, and it read this: "We are the women of Bachelor season 25. 25 women who identify as BIPOC were cast on this historic season that was meant to represent change. We're deeply disappointed and want to make it clear that we denounce any defense of racism. Any defense of racist behavior denies the lived and continued experiences of BIPOC individuals." If you guys don't know what BIPOC means, that means Black Indigenous People of Color. They continue to say, "These experiences are not to be exploited or tokenized. Rachel Lindsay continues to advocate with grace for individuals who identify as BIPOC within this franchise. Just because she is speaking the loudest doesn't mean that she is alone. We stand with her, we hear her, and we advocate for change alongside her." So I wanted to do a little research as to how these girls got together and came up with this statement. So I reached out to a couple of them, and Chelsea responded, and she told me that I was able to use her words and talk about what she said on our podcast. She said that the women who wrote this statement would like to remain anonymous, but in order to continue to lift BIPOC voices, please feel free to mention that it was written by 6 women of color. They spoke, worked on, and wrote on a statement together. She says she doesn't want to speak for others, but she can say that last week she felt really disappointed and a little defeated. She said a lot of this season has felt like one step forward and two steps back. If you guys did listen to the episode yesterday, or the one that we recorded yesterday with Devon, we address this one step forward and two steps back that she mentions. She continues to say that she specifically feels like this extra interview was too important not to speak up about. She said she didn't want people like Rachel Lindsay or people like Taylor Nolan to feel like they were alone and that they weren't supported. She said that we are allowed to, of course, discuss that she has told me this on the podcast. We're just going to keep talking about it. We got to keep talking about it. And hopefully we will grow and change, and this franchise will be better because of it.
You know, one of the things that Devon kind of hinted to and talked about is like the power. It reminds me of that. You remember the old story that we used to hear about the starfish and the kid that walks down the beach throwing one starfish at a time in the ocean? And the conclusion of that is like, he gets questioned on that, and the kid's response is like, "Well, at least I helped that one." Well, talking to Devon reminded me that, you know, yes, we have a podcast, but you know, this takes up a very small amount of my time, and it takes up mm-hmm. a very small amount of your time, and it takes up mm-hmm. a very small amount of time of our listeners. That this conversation needs to continue far outside of the podcast into our communities and networks, into the people that we come in contact with, so that we can continue to help the one or be a part of the solution and not the problem. We can help and not hurt, which is something I've kind of coined this year as my phrase. I think when we look at this, maybe the conclusion to all this is we can't let the conversation stop here. We can't let this, as Wills said, like just be another moment where we advocate and then we step back. It's, hey, this is something that is not only needed, but it's also hurting people. And I hope to our listeners on the show, and I know for you personally, is we don't want to live life hurting other people, and we want to be a part of the solution. So with that, Ashley, let's take a break here. We are going to break down this week's episode. We are going to talk about Bachelor headlines. We're going to do a normal podcast. But again, we encourage you to go back and listen to our conversation with Devon Franklin, which was posted on Monday.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the diaper stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So right now, obviously, summer's coming up, and it's a big time of the year for so many. Well, your social battery right now, probably for most people, is feeling a little drained. Or maybe you're bursting with energy and you're so excited to get out there and talk to people. I know for me, a lot of times I have to moderate my social engagements because I get drained very fast, very easy, and I need time at home.
Yep, me too, especially while pregnant.
It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/almost today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/almost.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to, hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long, the worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit, and it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Well, we got another week of The Bachelor. Now, it feels like to me, actually, I'm going to even hold my opinions on this episode until we kind of intermix them into the conversation. But we're obviously excited about this week for a couple of reasons. One of those reasons is because we have a cliffhanger and Heather Martin has walked into the brand new, very big, very beautiful Bachelor Mansion, and we have no clue how it's going to play out. But this week, we see it play out.
We do. And it wasn't much different than what we predicted last week.
No.
She comes in. He says, okay, give me a minute to think about this. He actually holds a lot, Hannah Brown's opinion, like it holds a lot of weight for him. The whole reason that he even said like hang around is because he needed to decide whether the opinion of such a close friend should kind of overweigh how far he's come with some of these other girls and to make that disruption if he were to allow her to join this group so late in the game. But ultimately, he decides that he's just come too far with the other women, tells Heather that she, you know, she can't stay. But it was very, of course, the way he does it is so sweet. He says that, you know, if we were in San Diego right now, it'd be a different story. But that's not the case. And she goes home. But again, I think we see a bullying moment. Just like the girls, I'm not saying you have to be super warm and welcoming to a girl who's coming in during week 6/7. You know, I understand how agitating that can be, but for Kit to say, bitch, what are you doing here? I don't want to hear your, I don't want, then there's other people who are saying like, I don't want to hear your tears. What's her name again? Like, there's just like a lot of just cattiness again. And it's just like, this girl is already in such a vulnerable position. To make her feel like this on top of it was, like, again, disappointing to see, but maybe not shocking.
Well, yeah, that's my bit one. No, I was actually very surprised, especially with kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of this, we had thought, I guess, that after a few weeks, the bullying would stop. I was surprised at how mean they were to Heather. Like, it was definitely mean. I don't think anybody's going to argue that it was a very uncomfortable situation, that they didn't know Heather, that they obviously didn't want her there, which I don't even disagree with. Like, you, of course you don't want her there, but it was hostile. And she sat in that, and obviously she did go home, which was, I'm going to say, probably for the best for her. Like, I think sticking around there would have been even worse. And I was kind of sitting there, Ashley, expecting what was to happen, which was Heather going home. And I was like, please don't stay. Not because I don't like Heather. She's been on the podcast. She's a sweet girl. I don't know if she'd make a match with Matt or not. But it was like, please don't stay, because then that's the storyline that we hear now for the next few weeks. And we're getting so far in this season that I am again, and I'm harping on it every week. I want to see the love stories. I don't want to see the drama at this point. It's it's been way overplayed. It's way overused. And so Heather did go home. Well, others went home as well. We walk then into a rose ceremony, and some of our favorites go home.
Well, Chelsea went home and Serena C went home. Again, every single rose ceremony for like the past 4 or 5 weeks, I am mind blown by somebody who leaves. And this week it was Chelsea. I was DMing her, as I said earlier in this podcast. And then I had to DM her and be like, wait a second. You're eliminated in this at the top of this episode. I did not see that coming at all. We've seen such strong moments from her during group dates over the past 3 weeks that I thought it was going to be Abigail leaving at that rose ceremony. I love Abigail, you know, but just like connection wise, it just seemed like she was falling off and Chelsea was gaining steam. But there she went. And I mean, it makes sense that she would have left in this episode. We see so many people go home in this episode. You know, it truly chopped the cast in half. But I think it was just interesting the way that she went home earlier on.
It's I would define this episode as the episode where, again, a lot of our favorites exit. Like, this was like a big gut punch when it comes to some of our favorites, and obviously the first rose ceremony is the first example of that, and we're going to get into Abigail in just a bit, but we move on from the rose ceremony to the first one-on-one date of this episode. That's with Serena P. The date card says, "Can our love go deeper?" Which can mean so many weird different things, and it was weird and it was different and it did mean some awkward things.
Yes, it did. So they did tantric yoga in like basically sex positions.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have loved this date. They've done something like this before. I remember Chase and JoJo did it. I think there's probably been another one. Matt is, you know, really affectionate. He doesn't really care when it comes to PDA. And apparently we learned that Serena is not that way at all. She's wanting it to be over the entire time. She said she was beyond her comfort zone. Matt really says that, well, Matt really enjoyed the activity, but also really enjoys that Serena is so honest with how she didn't like it afterward. And to be honest, I was thinking like at points during this date that they weren't super compatible. I really like Serena and I like her honesty, but I was thinking like, are their love languages going to be compatible if he's like all into this affection and sexuality and she's like, I'm not like this. Like I'm feeling very uncomfortable. Did you find the same?
Yeah, I mean, love language is funny because you want to find somebody that is compatible, but you also can find that adventure in the incompatibility or, you know, so maybe off the show. I think this is a big telling moment for the experience on the show. When you're on the show, you don't have that time to sit and watch a movie, or you don't have that time to be intimate in whatever way that you feel is fit without cameras around. But cameras are around, people are watching at all times. If that is something that makes you uncomfortable, well, then the show is going to be really hard for you. And so I actually then, after the date was over, I was like, okay, if Matt knows she's uncomfortable, realizes that she was I'm going to say awkward. I don't know if she was awkward, but she was just like not feeling the moment and yet still keeps her around, then there is something very, like, he's feeling very serious about her.
Completely agree, because it seemed like once they hit that little disagreement, he wanted to just keep pushing forward.
Yes, exactly. So he's like, hey, I get it. I now see this. I understand it. And yes, this is a little bit disheartening because it would have been a great date and we could have like made out and like done all this stuff. But then he's like, hey, I respect the situation enough. I respect you enough. And I like you enough to now still keep you around, even though This was weird. This date didn't necessarily like flow and fit. Well, so what it tells me is she's somebody to watch out for. I don't know if he ends up with her at the end, but it's definitely now like the very first, as we get down in the final weeks here, the first telling connection outside of maybe Rachel that we're like, okay, this is something very serious. Now,
maybe, but like, can I just say, I feel like maybe she's not all the way there with him. And I think we're seeing that with the scene to the next episode with her family. She's kind of maybe doubting if she's 100% into him. And I feel like if you are so into somebody, like, you'd want to do that date, even if it was in public.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel weird about this. I've always felt weird about affection on television. Like, even though I was The Bachelor and it happened, like, there was not a, like, you know, you can kiss. There's, like, boundaries there. But as soon as things started to get, like, super heated or, like, you know, that moment felt like it was going beyond, like, PG-13.
Yeah. There, I wouldn't have been comfortable with it while I was on the show, you know?
It definitely makes you feel like a different sort of way. Like, you know, your grandma's watching this. You know, your family's watching this. You know, a lot of people are watching that. Like, hey, we're, you know, it just made me feel weird. But if we go on, she does get the rose. She's going to be around. And we get a new date card, which Piper, Michelle, Rachel, Bree, Kit, Abigail are all on the card, which feels so weird to say because a lot of these girls aren't here going into the next week. It's like, hey, I read this list and it's weird that this is, you know, the episode that we're breaking down because a lot of these girls do go home. But Jacinia then gets the one-on-one. So we see that. We know that after the show or after this date. And the date card reads, love will always find a way.
But I think there must have been something cut out because they go straight into the nighttime portion of the date.
That's interesting.
There's nothing there with that date card meaning to go into the date.
Right? You know what I think? Yeah. No, you're right. And like, what is that? Like a scavenger hunt? Is it something like that just didn't work? Did weather not handle it well? But you're right. It is funny because that is a note that, you see, you're always good at this stuff. I watched it and I have in here like the nighttime portion notes, but I didn't even think about like the fact that the date never happened. That's Ashley, good note. Once again, give Ashley Iaconetti credit. She has dissected the production, and she's realized that we only saw the nighttime portion. Well, the nighttime portion was full of some really important moments, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we learned a lot. We saw a lot. And Matt, I think, is really starting to identify who he's most into. And we see this on the nighttime portion.
So our first serious conversation is with Bree, and she breaks to him that she had to resign from her position at her work in order to be with him any further. I know a lot of people, when they go into The Bachelor, like their place of work gives them, you know, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. It seems based on where she is in this, she probably had to resign after a month. And could you imagine the amount of guilt he would have hearing that conversation, hearing her tell him that if she was on the chopping block. Now, I think we all knew that she wasn't really on the chopping block, so we all like had a sigh of relief, but still, oh, the guilt.
I would say that like I wouldn't wish that upon any bachelor or bachelorette to have that conversation. Like, I don't know if Bree will look back on that. We could ask her at some point. I'm sure we'll have her on and say, do you ever regret that conversation? Because I think she's like, hey, I need to share him this. He's like the most important person in my life right now, and he needs to know where I'm coming from, and he needs to know how serious I am about it. But it was like, it felt to me like Matt was like, oh no. I mean, hey, I like you, but like now I feel really weird because I like somebody else too. And like now I feel much pressure. Here's, okay, side note, a little frustration. Bree's awesome. And like,
we're not seeing enough of her?
We're not seeing enough of her. Like, we saw the one-on-one date weeks ago. We haven't really seen Bree. Tell me if I'm wrong. Since then, we don't know a lot about Bree. Here we are. They're sitting down. They're having this wonderful conversation. And she is opening up to him. If it's appropriate or not, that's beside the point. They're opening up to each other. They're having this like very romantic conversation. And I'm like, Bree, where have you been? And then I'm like, that's not your fault. You've been around the whole time.
I know. And I think it goes back to my brief conversation with Chelsea. She brings up two things. One, that there are too many girls on this season. When you add it up, it is about 37, 38 girls. That is crazy. And it is too much because you can't focus on the love stories enough. And then secondly, she brings up the fact that it was so bogged down by drama that so many of these love stories were never told. And think about the amount of time we would have to get to know Matt and Bree's connection if we just eliminated a little bit of the Serena and Katie fight last week, the Victoria drama, all that stuff. Like, it would have made room to get to know Bree better.
Yes, I 100% agree with you, Ashley. It's a weird thing. I'm a big fan of Bree. She still has my vote. I'm sticking to that. Well, you know, we obviously see the connection once again between Rachel and Matt. Rachel does end up getting the rose from Matt, and
Abigail goes home.
And Abigail goes home, which I'm saying here. Let's pause at this point because I'm on Abigail's team. I don't think she got a fair shot. I don't know why she didn't get a fair shot. But she gets the first impression rose. There seems to be this really magical connection. Where did it go wrong? I'm asking myself this question. Like, we never saw anything of Abigail again. Maybe it's because she didn't like really speak to Matt again. But it's like, no, she had to have, right? Like, they've had to have conversations leading up to this point. But every week we're holding on saying Abigail's got to get a rose. Like, got to get the one-on-one. Abigail's got to get the one-on-one. And it never happens. And then she goes home in this fashion. And I feel like as a fan, I didn't get enough Abigail. Like, we just never got enough of her as a human. And I was excited for that because I really thought that was something special. Everybody was saying that she was going to be going home because it just didn't have, I didn't want to believe it. And now, well, I got to believe it.
Well, she definitely is a front runner, I think, for Bachelorette.
Yes.
Because she is one of the most endearing girls and the one that we are craving to see more of that we never did. Matt's explanation as to what happened to them was interesting. He said, I felt our connection was so strong off the top that I let it just like sit. And I let other relationships build because I was so sure of what we had. But then in doing that, those other relationships grew stronger. And it's just really interesting the way like he kind of put it on the back burner and then never brought it off that back burner.
never did. And maybe it's because he's right. Like, relationships did progress past it, and he was kind of having tunnel vision now for a few of these women, and that Abigail didn't fit into that view that he thought his life was going to shake out to be with. Maybe that is what happened. Maybe he knew he had some with Abigail. Relationships progressed past it. He couldn't see it catching up. So she goes home. I'm sad about it. I mean, I think a lot of people will probably be sad about it, but the positive is that maybe, just possibly, she could be our next Bachelorette, and she would have a fan in us. Well, Rachel does get the rose from the date. Interesting moment during this date is that when Rachel gets the rose, it's the first time this whole season that there is this kind of overarching cloud of defeat amongst the other, like the women on that date. Like, you could just see in the room that everybody's heart sank. You could tell that something was about to happen because you saw everybody's face, and everybody's face is either thinking, of course it's Rachel, he's obviously into Rachel, or it's just, I really wanted to be here next week, and now I have to wait till a rose ceremony again to figure that out. And like, that's scary to me. But it was a heavy moment.
It was one of those grand moments too that highlights the couple.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, you're getting basically rewarded now. You're getting your own alone time. You're getting this concert moment. This is something that Jared brought up earlier that I think that since we're talking about Rachel, it's right to bring him now. A lot of speculation has gone on this week that like the only reason that Chris would be so defensive of Rachel K in that interview with Rachel Lindsay is because Rachel K wins this. Do you think if Rachel does win this, and this is just coming from Jared, and it sounds better coming from him, but like, he seemed to have an interesting argument. Should we spoil the season? Like, should the season be spoiled? Should ABC do it and be like, this is Rachel, she's our winner. and we're going to address all the racial stuff going on right now between her, because it's just too odd to watch this season with the elephant in the room. It's just like an elephant in the room.
You know, I don't, that's hard.
Does that make sense?
Yes. My initial response is no, and here's why. It is Matt's
journey and the girl's journey to figure out. And so once that journey plays out, then we can kind of see it to conclusion, right? So is this a moment that's different than others where it's like, if they did spoil it, I would be shocked? No, I wouldn't be shocked at all. And I can't even say it would be the wrong thing to do. It's just, I have a feeling they're going to say, hey, Matt, this is your story as the Bachelor, and we're going to let this thing finish out. However, along the way, you know, I do think there's some things that the franchise needs to do and confront before the finale, but I don't think it's going to be spoiling the end. I don't know if that helps or hurts or solves anything at that moment. Well, speaking of solving something, Kit doesn't feel like her relationship with Matt is able to be solved, is able to work out. And we see that when Matt gets back to the house, he's kind of strolling around his incredible pad that they have him living in. And Kit shows up with her mind made, and it's made in one way.
And it's very weird to me because she is freaking out a couple hours earlier, sitting around that couch. She said, is my face just tomato red right now? Because she's like kind of just taken aback or shocked that she's not going forward. She just felt like she was very invested during that group date in like getting further along with Matt. And then she shows up and says, I don't think I'm there. I don't think I can feel confident in me being your future wife. And you deserve somebody who feels confident in that now. And it's funny because she had earlier said, like, this is my plan of life. I'm not going to have kids until I'm like 25, 26. I have a timeline. She went through that with him. He seemed down with it. And then she was like, you know what? Never mind. I don't think you're the guy for me anyway.
Can I make an assumption, a theory that's so unwarranted and could be completely false?
Yes, please do.
Kit's mom is a well-known person. Mm-hmm. I wonder if any of this had to do with Kit saying, I don't know if it's wise to have my mom on this show next week.
Yeah.
It would be a big deal for her to give up 5 days of quarantining and come on television. And unless I'm 100% sold out on this, it's just not something I want to do. Like, it's not something I want to put up for. And then, like, that would make sense. Like,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I just wonder when I watch it, I was like, you know what? I wonder if she's just saying, like, hey, I'm not completely sold out that I'm the one, and I don't know if he's the one for me. And so let's just call this good before the family comes in, because my family, is known, and that's going to be a story in itself. And it's just not worth doing right now with where we're at in our relationship. Well, so Kit goes home. So now at this point in this episode, we've had the people from the first rose ceremony that we love, and we have Abigail, who is a figure who got the first impression rose, and we have another popular figure on the show, Kit, all going home. At this point, when does it end? Well, it does end for a bit. People stop going home until the very end, and in between now and then, we have Jacinia's one-on-one, which is interesting to me, and I'll tell you this. I didn't know his connection with Jacinia was strong. In fact, I didn't think it was strong. And I
didn't either.
I'm surprised, quite frankly, that he didn't keep Abigail around and not have her on the group date, but have her on that one-on-one just to really get that time with her, to really get to know her a little bit.
Right. I think as a fandom, we would have felt a little bit more completed if Abigail was the one who got the one-on-one, because at least we'd be able to like say, all right, she had her time. They did not have it. But now we know, and it just feels more like a conclusion for us. With Jacinia, I mean, seems like a nice girl. We liked her in that argument with MJ. Doesn't exactly pull on our heartstrings, I think, as much as Abigail. We feel a little bit less invested in her. And to me, it was an even more obvious, oh, she's going to get eliminated at the end of this date type situation.
I mean, it's everybody's going home on this episode. It's wild. Yeah. Like, you have a rose ceremony. You have Abigail going home. You have Kit going home. And then you have a one-on-one date. And she goes home.
Yeah. But I don't think it was a surprise that Yesenia went home to anyone at the end of this date because, I mean, she said she was blindsided. I don't know how she was blindsided. I mean, it was written all over his face. And we just, you know, as I know it's different, you don't see it as clearly as the audience does when you're there. But with the other girls that he had left, like, you just knew Michelle was going to get a spot. And at that point, we had Rachel with a rose. We had Serena with a rose. And so then we had two roses left. And it just was so obvious that it wasn't going to be going to Yesenia.
Yeah. So, Yesenia goes home. We have the final rose ceremony. And as Ashley just mentioned, Serena P, Rachel, who had roses going into the rose ceremony, Bree and Michelle get a rose. Piper is then sent home at that rose ceremony. Matt is pretty upset about it. She feels pretty tough. I mean, this is a hard breakup, I'm sure, for them both. But now we move into hometowns. And so we're going to see these stories. And Ashley, to kind of go into what do they call it when the show ends and before the next show?
Like just scenes from the next episode?
Yeah, scenes from the next episode. When we watch the scenes from the next episode, it feels like to me the tone that they're setting as the, for the viewers is some of these girls have a lot of questions if they're ready for this or not. Like these girls' families are pretty much saying like, I don't see this working because I don't see you there yet, like in terms of love.
Yeah. I feel like they always kind of like tee it up like that, okay. That there's so much doubt. We'll see next week. These girls, you know, are on the younger side. Yeah. So I would see like the families maybe being like, are you sure? Are you sure? But you know what I was thinking earlier? Super crazy. Going into hometowns with Tayshia season, first off, you like cut off the first 4 weeks, right? Because those were Claire's 4 weeks where we really didn't get to know anything about Ivan, Zach, Brendan,
and Ben.
Like, we didn't get to know anything about them in those 4 weeks. But going into hometowns, I felt like we knew them very well and we were very excited to see where they came from.
Yeah.
And I don't feel the same way. These girls are lovely. They are seriously, like, I like them a lot.
Well, I don't think it's on them.
It's a good top four. It's not on them. It's about the way the storyline has evolved.
Well, so a prime example here, Ashley. We're fans of Michelle. And it's the bloopers where all of a sudden we see this side of Michelle that we haven't really been able to see because it hasn't been shown. But it's like, this is terrific. Like, the stuff that she's doing is hilarious. Can we please show this stuff so that we know this side of Michelle and not just in the bloopers, on the episode so we can start to go, that's relatable. Like, I remember doing 30 push-ups before my date so that I would look a little bit better on camera.
Swole.
I get it. I've seen it. I like it. I'm encouraged by it because I don't feel so weird by doing it. But we haven't seen it until now, and that's a little bit frustrating. We've said it every week, though. Okay, Ashley. Again, next week's hometowns, but we have to talk about this week's episode, and we have to rate it. So, your rating of this week's episode, A to F.
I would say it was about an 8.5. Which is like a B plus.
Okay.
Yes. I liked it. I felt myself engaged in it, not distracted at all. It was much different than I felt the past couple of weeks. I think it was because there was such less amount of drama. The only drama we had really was up front with Heather. I think we got good conversations here.
Yeah, I think it progressed us. I still think there was frustrations. I'm going to give it a 7.7. Just because
7.7.
Yeah, I think it was an increase in episode. I think it was fine, which is a C+. It's just, it just missed the mark a little bit again for me because of these storylines and because of the exits and the lack of information around these exits. I feel like we're just kind of like missing the mark when it comes to the story. Well, Ashley, that's this week's episode. We'll be back next week for another breakdown of the episode. And it's going to be hometowns. We have Bachelor headlines to talk about. But before we do, let's take a break and get a glass of water. And we'll be back with the Almost Famous podcast.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler. But when I do,
It's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket. You know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to: hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
As promised, as usual, we do have Bachelor headlines. The first headline is one that, I don't know, I have a feeling, Ashley, you're the expert on this stuff, but I just read it and I'm like, there's got to be more to the story. Well, anyways, Chris Harrison says Bachelor producers said no to Heather Martin returning, but she, in quotes, kept fighting. This according to Us Weekly.
So this is super interesting because I would, because this explains why she came in so late.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they just like gave in to her and they were like, fine, we'll give in to her now, even though we know there's no chance. So Chris Harrison says this quote, "To be honest, I found out later because the producers didn't tell me she was coming. Hannah B. had concocted this story and was helping produce this thing from the side," he says. He said that she thought that Heather would be a good match for Matt, but when they reached out, production said no. However, she kept fighting for this. She said, "I want to come out there." One of the executive producers said, "Heather, do not come to Nemecolon. You're not going to be on the show." He said, "Do not show up on our doorstep." And she did. And she got a call. We got a call and said, "Heather's here." And I walked out to the gate. That's actually mind-blowing because that is absolutely the opposite of what we thought. Yet last week we were talking about how like silly it was that they were kind of playing that scenario as if she just showed up out of thin air in a minivan and all that. Yeah. But she does say in this episode, she's like, "I flew myself out here." And maybe it's true.
I don't know. That's wild. If you think about that, that is crazy.
A little desperate.
Not crazy for like crazy in the, that's just like a wild scenario that she would.
That's crazy.
That she would take that risk. That's just like that. That's a huge risk. Also, to go to Nemecolon, to find out where it's at, to pull up to the gate. I mean, you got to think, if this all is just like how we saw it, that poor security guard is like, exactly. I don't know what to do here. You're asking for Chris Harrison. You're in a dress. Like, this is too much for me. I don't get paid enough to handle this. Well, interesting, to say the least. Chris Harrison is in the headlines again. This is according to People. You know, there was a rumor, I don't know, a week or two ago that Katie Thurston had been casted as the next Bachelorette. Yet Chris Harrison says in People that the debate is still going.
Yeah, so they haven't really picked the Bachelorette yet. I guess it was not announced at Women Tell All, so it was rumored. Katie even responded to those rumors last week saying, like, that's news to her that she's the Bachelorette. Harrison said, quote, in the same interview with Rachel, but what was before the race conversation, he said, "I promise you this, if we named her the next Bachelorette, I was not there. We did not name her or anybody the next Bachelorette during the Women Tell All special. In fact, We didn't even talk about who the next bachelorette would be, unless they started taping in the middle of the night after I left. So as far as I know, nobody's been named the bachelorette, and I promise you this, it will not be part of the tell-all special. He said there is a large debate as to who could be the next female lead.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. You know, I have a couple that I would love to see. But we'll wait. We'll follow along. This is an interesting story. I think it gives a glimpse, a real life glimpse, and it's nice that they were vulnerable about it, into couples coming off the show. JoJo Fletcher and Jordan Rogers admit they initially stayed together to please Bachelor Nation. This according to Us Weekly.
Okay, yeah. So this is a quote from JoJo. She said, "I think that was one of the reasons we stayed together in the beginning. There were so many reasons why we thought we should not be together. I think subconsciously for me and for him, there was this pressure, not only for people that watch the show, but from our friends and family." She said that the twosome, of course, doesn't feel the weight of those expectations anymore. She says, obviously, we're far past that. But I think in the beginning, there is that sense of pressure.
Yeah, well, it's good to see them happy. I almost think that if you went back in their timeline, you can kind of see where maybe the best way to say it is like they started to fall in love again, or they started to fall in love outside the show, because you can see this kind of like renewal on their social medias and in their life of doing things mm-hmm. together and their discussions, you know,
their engagement, their second engagement.
Yeah. So it's great for them. Two final headlines. This one comes from the very first Bachelorette of all time. And according to Us Weekly, Trista Sutter, Bachelor, and this is her quote, "Bachelor contestants need to accept producers can use anything against you."
So she says on the Right Reasons podcast this week that they're producing a television show. You just have to accept that. She said that once she got into a big knockdown, drag-out fight with executive producer creator Mike Fleiss, and she said that he texted her that week and said, "We have a great relationship, but we're producing a TV show. The producers are producing a TV show. So they need to have certain things put in place, and they need to be able to edit. They need to be able to create a different storyline in order to have people be engaged in it." She said there's no reason that the show would still be on the air if the producers weren't involved in that way. You know what I mean?
Well, Trista has always been fairly outspoken. In fact, I really believe this, Ashley. I wonder here in the next kind of season of The Bachelor and what they decide to do and how they move forward with everything. I wonder if the drama now will decrease. Do you believe that this show would change in a poor way if the drama decreased and they just went back to increasing the love stories?
I don't think so, because we had Tayshia's season as an example of that.
There you go.
I think people loved it. The ratings, I think, were really high. If you just look at her Instagram followers, she was a beloved bachelorette. And I just feel like that was the most drama-free season there ever has been once we got past Claire and Dale's storyline.
That's right. Well, good point. Hey, the final story of this week is one that is based in love, one that we celebrate. The Bachelor alum, Leslie Murphy, welcomes daughter Nora Blanche, filled with pure wonder and awe. Leslie says this according to People.
She was born on February 12th. She's happy, healthy, beautiful. And Leslie calls her daughter a pure wonder, and it's an awe to be in her presence. She said, "Thank you so much for the love and prayers. She and her dad are doing just amazing. Just need some rest."
Well, everybody, that's the Bachelor headlines of this week. Now, Ashley, once again, there was another podcast this week that we find that we did that we think our listeners should listen to. They should take the time. They should sit in it, process it, and then go out in their communities and learn, be educated, to educate themselves, and also to make a difference amongst those they come in contact with, so that this world can be a better place. Again, that is an interview, and big credit to Devon Franklin for coming on and taking up the time that he did to do that. Well, hey, that's all the headlines this week. That's our podcast. We'll be back next week. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
I've discovered the secret to turning diaper duty into pure parenting joy. Okay, well, that might be a stretch, but Pampers Swaddlers is truly the answer. They feature a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, including even blowouts. And for 2024's hottest baby shower slash sprinkle gift, it's the Pampers Diaper Stash. I am so for diapers for a baby shower. Our registry. This Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund where family and friends can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. Just create an account, share it, and then watch it grow, and then gift it. So easy. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness with Pampers Swaddlers and the Pampers Diaper Stash.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.